Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another fun episode of Level 117. I'm Dan Handley, and I'm here with Maya Aides.
Yeah, sort of with me. Actually, we're actually very separated in our own homes tonight.
We did have to get out, and it's only us. So yes. The rest of the meddling kids are taking the night off, apparently.
Yeah, and they, for some very odd and silly reason, left it to you and I. Oh.
It's very dangerous. But yes. All right, if anybody wants to get involved in the conversation, we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Tumblr, Google Plus, and Pinterest. You can also leave us an email at level117@scififorme.com. Or you could give us a call at our hotline. We do listen to our messages at 573-42-SCI-FI. So,
yeah.
Tonight's episode, Many Heads, One Tail.
And that's Many Heads, M-A-N-Y, right?
And Tail, T-A-L-E, because they are making a funny pun, apparently.
Right. And I take that the tail to be the one tale that Malik was telling Ward at the end.
That would be a good guess.
Well, and that's actually the same. And the nice intersplicing between the way... Oh, I'm totally jumping to the end, but...
Well, it's we do occasionally digress to do so within an episode.
I know.
You know, that's...
that's actually unusual for us. But I like the intersplicing between... Fitz and Simmons laying out the case for what they had discovered and Malik telling Ward basically a very similar story. I liked how you saw two different versions of the story being given. That this was a great episode. This one was exciting. I didn't know everything that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. And it had those gotcha moments. It had like, oh no, don't go through the doors. Don't go behind there.
it really didn't have any really cheesy elements to it.
Because
a couple weeks back we did have that season one quality episode.
Yes.
But this one was definitely, they were on their game. This was definitely a S.H.I.E.L.D. type of story with the, everybody's playing everybody.
This was worthy of the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. This one I felt like was, this one I really enjoyed. I enjoyed, you had good action in it. You had some humor to it. You had romance. You had several romances, actually. You had Rosalind and Phil. You had Bobby and Hunter. Fitz and Simmons. You had all these couples.
And then you also had the play with Ward calling back to his time with, sort of in a roundabout way, his time with May when he was confronting Andrew. Again, we're talking about the end.
Hey, this time it was you.
Yes, it was. But the conversation called for it.
Yeah, I agree. So, how are we supposed to do? Let's see. We're supposed to do kind of a recap. Oh, golly.
Sure. Let's do a plot recap of what we can remember.
We didn't have Cammy with us to take notes, and so that's her fault that she wasn't here to take notes. I started trying.
It's our excuse. We're sticking with it.
Exactly. And I may use it more than once tonight. I may. So we start out with, actually, this episode really had bookends. You started out with Malik and Ward, and you ended with Malik and Ward.
Yes.
So you had Malik and Ward, and they're having a meal, or maybe they were going to sit down to the meal and had a baby octopus on top of, I don't know, rice or something, which was both beautiful and grotesque at the same time.
But it depends on your culinary tastes, I guess.
But I think it was meant to be both. I mean, it was a beautiful presentation, and yet there was something, you know, Hydra. I mean, it's
exactly.
Hydra. Yeah, it's referring to Hydra, so it's scary in that way because you know it's not just a sea creature. It's Hydra,
which Gideon Malik did reference. It did say, you know, regarding the octopus, says the octopus is special to Hydra. So
right. Yes.
I think it wasn't just artistically meaningful. It was actually meaningful within the story.
Right. Right.
And among the characters.
Right. And he hints at the history lesson in the first scene, in that first scene there. But he doesn't follow through with the history lesson until the very end of the episode, which is fine. You know, he made us wait for it. It's okay. We had a lot going on but between now and then. He leaves. What I didn't understand, kind of. I mean, he leaves. Poor Ward doesn't get to eat. All these guys come in, and he has to fight all of these guys. None of them knows where he's after the vault. He wants to know where the Von Stucker, is that how you say the name? Von Stucker vault is, and that's what he's after. I did not like Ward. I still don't like Ward. I mean, not that I don't like the character. I mean, I didn't like what he did with the airplane when he sacrificed a whole flight of people for his own means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just rude and selfish.
But the thing is, they're continuing to establish Ward's character.
Oh.
And that's the thing. You know, there's, because I mean, you know, in screenwriting, you have the save with a hero, you have the save the cat moments. So by contrast, your villain's got to have the occasional kick the cat moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or sacrifice the whole plane full of innocent people.
Exactly, it's something that just establishes whether or not you like that character.
How gross he really is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really didn't like that. Maybe with the events that have been going on worldwide recently, it struck so close to home. We've had terrorist activities in Paris, and it just, which then reminds you of 9/11 here in the United States, and it just.
Of course, you had Beirut, and you had Kenya.
Yes.
Apparently, they just had a scare out in Germany. I mean,
yeah. So seeing the inside of the plane and somebody sacrificing a plane of people. That was hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And again, did not make you feel all warm and cuddly towards Ward at all. But that's
not
actually later in the that comes up later in the episode, doesn't it? So, help me out. So then we go jump back to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s side, right? And we've got Coulson picks up his date, basically. Rosalind, she comes for a visit at the base. And Coulson announces to all of his people that they are using this time to infiltrate her side of things. Yes, they're inviting her in, but they're going to use that opportunity to see what's going on. Yeah, see what's going on inside her camp. They actually learn and uncover a whole lot more than they expected, and in fact, more than Rosalind expected, more than she knew was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Because apparently she trusted Gideon, who gave her the information, including the information on Tahiti.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which was her Achilles heel. I mean, that was her telltale. That was her or slip up. That was where she slipped up, and Coulson knew that somewhere she was getting her information from somebody.
Mm-hmm. And he basically came down and deduced Hydra.
Yeah. Well, he had it narrowed down to a couple of sources.
And technically was right. However, she was not aware.
Right.
It was...
Right, exactly. She thought it was on the up and up, and little did she know that she was being played. She was being played on... I felt bad for her. By the end of the episode, I felt bad for her because she had been played, like, on all sides. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Malik had played her. Coulson had played her. It's like, poor lady. I mean, who could...
She
really can't trust anybody.
Control.
Yeah, she thought she knew what was going on. She probably didn't know that she had Inhumans on her team.
Mm-hmm. On her team. Not really on her team, in her offices.
Yes.
In her organization.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying on her team because they were working with her and for her, whether she, maybe she didn't handpick them, but anyway, yeah. So when Bobby and Hunter go in there, and by the way, Hunter was just, he had to be the absolute worst person to pose as the hacker. I mean, he was so bad at that.
Well, the thing is, he played the part well, providing he was being fed the information by Daisy. You know, as long as Quake's telling him what to say, he was okay.
Except then he's doing like password. He's saying things as he's typing. I'm using my fingers here, which nobody can see as they're listening to this, but he's saying things while he's typing that most people who are capable of typing don't have to say out loud. You know, you don't have to go and password backslash, you know where those keys are. You just find them. You type them. You don't have to say them out loud like, an introductory typing class.
And
that
he wasn't
was hilarious.
Typing very fast. He
no.
was typing so slowly.
No.
So they, they're like, wait a minute, this is a great hacker, what?
Slowly, and he has to look at the screen to make sure what he's typing is what he's, what comes up on the screen is what he means to have come up. He types no better than I do.
Well, he even said when the jig was up, he gave up his character. He said, yeah, well, I'm not good at computers.
Right. And Bobby, again, saves the day. Although, they save the day together. Because they end up going up against an Inhuman, and they find that the... Remember, a few weeks ago, I was asking about the those vitamin E capsules, those fish oil capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you think they got all of those off the shelves? I wonder where all of those went. And you guys were like, I think they got them all off the stores. But we don't know if they got them out of, like, people's homes and stuff, right? Well,
mm-hmm.
we found out
you
where
were
the
vindicated.
Rest of, well, we found out where they went to.
Yes.
Interesting, all the labels were gone.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of would have been funny if they'd all had, like, different labels. Because, they could have come from different manufacturers. But the same mm-hmm. fish. Yeah. What else? What else are we missing?
Well... it's like right there talking about fighting that Inhuman. It was interesting seeing Mark Dacascos playing that role.
Yes,
because I'm so used to him playing heroes, different types of heroes in action films, and now this is like the third big villain character he's played. I mean, Hawaii Five-0. He was on something else just recently, doing a role. But I mean, the only modern non-villain role I remember seeing him in was Iron Chef America. playing the chairman. But still, again, that's digressing, side note. I have to digress a little bit, yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's a worthy digression.
Yeah.
Very much
well,
so.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's not staying with villains because I know he's working on another film with his Capoeira master. Capoeira movie, and so I know it's Capoeira master, so
there you go.
But anyway, but yeah, they've got that guy there who is apparently telekinetic. That was kind of interesting.
Meaning, what do you mean by...
Psychokinetic, he moves things with his mind.
Okay. I thought maybe he would... because it wasn't all metal. Okay. I got what you mean.
What he manipulated was metal, but it didn't necessarily strike me that it was limited to metal, but
could have been.
Because, I mean, he picked up those guns and fired at them.
Right.
And that's how he ended up stopping Bobby's batons.
Yeah. They still worked for them because he had to focus on that long enough that Hunter was able to smack him from behind.
Yes. Well, those mentally controlled batons, that was pretty
Yes.
cool.
Yes. Yeah. For a minute there, I thought Bobby had been transformed because she seemed to be controlling them too. She
put those bands on,
yes,
around her wrists, and that allowed her to control.
Gotcha.
So
anyway, the way they were moving, and then I realized, no, that's mostly just him, and then she has some control over them as well, but. I thought there for a minute that she had, like, downed some fish oil when we weren't looking and had been transformed.
Well, that would make
a whole different spinoff show, wouldn't it?
It would really break from the comics, because Mockingbird is not an Inhuman.
Well, yeah. And it was just a momentary thought when I saw it happening. And then I realized, nah, that's not what's going on. So I think the other thing, plot-wise, is Fitz and Simmons having really... Well, as far as I know, that's the first time I've seen them kiss.
That is. At least as far as we've ever seen.
But they also went through some very real emotions. They were both expressing their frustration and their anger. And fear. I mean, their fear of bringing Will back and their fear of not being able to bring him back and having to admit that they can't do it and all of that. They have been some of the best stuff acting-wise the last couple of weeks. This whole episode was really good, don't get me wrong. But they, again, this episode had some really... awesome moments.
And just story-wise in general, those two throughout the season, and it's been more realistic. I mean,
yes.
You look at all these other interactions throughout the series, yeah, you find some how realistic a person will respond. But the intensity between these two, it isn't an overly dramatic thing, but at the same time, it's not subtle either, and I mean, It's written perfectly, and it's acted perfectly.
I agree.
I mean, that's...
I agree.
It's just everything clicks on that one.
Yep. They're doing a splendid job with this, both the writers and the actors. And I don't know who to compliment more there because I don't have access to... I'm not on set, and I'm not in the writer's room. Unfortunately, nobody's invited me in. But, if you want to invite me in, yeah. I'm sure you
can
find me. Yeah. I'm not that hard to find.
I'd love to have a role.
Yeah, no kidding.
Happy as a walk-on, turn me into an Inhuman. I'm a happy camper,
Wouldn't that be fun?
If I can't star in my own Marvel movie as a superhero, I'll be just a side Inhuman. I'm okay with that.
That doesn't sound like too bad a gig. Another moment, plot moment, and another acting moment that I really enjoyed tonight was May and Lincoln in the plane.
Yes.
It was, again, subtle and powerful acting between the two of them. And May, who is not a woman of many words... and in this case, trying to find the right ones to apologize, and I'm not sure that she really I recognize that she felt like she needed to apologize, but I don't think that most people would have expected her to... I don't think most people would look at that and go, oh yeah, she owes an apology.
Mm-hmm.
She felt that. But, you know, the situation and the circumstances and her saying, I should have known, I don't know how she would have known. I mean, I don't know why she's convicting herself and feeling like she should have known.
I think it's more of a self-blame. It's one of those things, even if you weren't necessarily a place that you could have done anything, you felt like you should have. Keep in mind, she's the cavalry, you know?
Right.
She really gets a sense of responsibility in a lot of cases. When things don't go right, she'll blame herself. Especially as of late with Andrew and all that he's been going on with him, she never saw it. She never, you know, and she probably feels like she should have.
Right.
So she's probably becoming a bit vulnerable, which is kind of unusual for me.
Very unusual, yes. Well, maybe we better take a break here, and we'll come back and have some more discussion about this episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll see you on the flip side after this break.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio, until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that, which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, editor-in-chief at sci-fi4me.com, taking a moment to say thank you for listening to this podcast and to invite you to listen to our other podcasts. We have opinions on a lot of things, and we hope you join us both in listening to our thoughts and sharing your own. You can find it all by going to sci-fi4me.com and clicking the podcast tab. Books, movies, TV, conventions, video games, comic books, the latest news, all in one place. Sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
And now, back to level 11D7, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
And we're back on level 11D7 tonight, and we're still here. It's just me, Maya, and on the other end here is Dan.
Hello.
Dan Handley. And Dan, let's talk more about the Hydra history lesson that Malik was giving Ward there at the end.
All right, well, of course, Ward thought that, you know, Hydra had started with Red Skull in World War II. Malik said, informed that, no, that's not the case. It's been around for, you know, what was it, thousands of years? A thousand years, something like that?
At least.
And he had a piece that was from that monolith thing, which is probably the key that that Fitz and Simmons need.
I'm thinking so you're right.
Get hold of that.
Yeah.
But
when I saw that, I thought that's how they're going to get back.
Exactly. But the thing is, they talked about some creature, some previous character that was an early Inhuman that was so powerful and was banished to the other side of that, and it makes me think that beast, that monster that was on that other planet, could have been that Inhuman that was at the foundation of Hydra.
The thing that Will and Gemma, or Will and Simmons, yeah, that they were in fear of, and that had apparently driven the other people crazy,
mm-hmm.
and killed the blood offerings throughout the centuries. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it's probably got a pretty good lifespan, and that's probably the same creature at the foundation of Hydra.
Wow.
That's kind of what I got out of it.
That's, isn't that bizarre that their founder has been banished to another world on the other side of a monolith that makes into liquid every now and then? And, I mean, that is truly your absentee leader.
Well, is what, not really a leader at that point.
Well, no, but founder, absentee founder, that you feed every now and then, just send somebody over to be a munch.
Yep, that's the ultimate absenteeism right there. But that, the thing is, I don't know, I'd have to check with Tim. I looked online, couldn't find an answer as to what character that would be if that is a character in the Marvel Universe. So we'll have to check with Tim next time we sit down
all together.
Yeah, which I believe is in 2 weeks.
I was glad. Did you see? You saw the promo for Agent Carter coming up in January 5th, the opening.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that looked good. I'm excited to see that. I'm hoping that it comes back even better than it was last season. Although it was fun last season, we all kind of bashed on certain aspects of it.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't perfect, but
it was still fun.
It was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Next, actually, no, we do have an episode next week.
Okay, so I'll probably be seeing you guys next week.
Called Closure.
Closure. Oh, really? You think that there's going to be closure? I don't think so.
Well, we've still got episodes the weeks after that, so I don't know. Maybe,
why are they calling
maybe
it Closure?
Maybe they're just looking for closure.
I know what we haven't talked about.
What did we not talk about?
We haven't talked about what may or may not have been mustard gas that Ward put into the containment chamber that Andrew is in.
Yeah.
Did he kill Andrew?
Oh, geez, not a clue. But here's the thing. He's still inhuman. He's contained.
Yeah.
But the inhuman aspect, Lash, has not been suppressed.
Right.
So basically, he may lash out.
Or was the mustard gas to actually accentuate and make him more Lash-ish?
Or to try and get him to
act out even more.
Well, it's really hard to say, because now Ward, the way he was talking, he was actually trying to kill Andrew to get under May's skin. But you don't know with Ward.
Yeah, you don't.
He could be lying through his teeth.
Yeah, I wasn't sure really there at the end, because like I didn't see any labels on the canister when it was hooked up to the unit, to the chamber, containment chamber. I don't know what to call that thing. So I don't know what it was. And, you know, what he says and what is are not always the same thing. And I wasn't sure if what he had just done was released mustard gas in there. So I'm not certain if he killed Andrew. He may have killed Andrew. I'm not sure.
Hard telling. We won't find out until
at least next week.
At least next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think this is going to do with Rosalind now that she knows? Well, she knows some.
Well, she may turn around and found Sword. Sorry, somebody had to say that because
Tim's did.
Not here.
Yeah, they did because, our two guys who would be saying it aren't with us. So, I mean, that sounded wrong. They're not recording with us tonight.
They are preoccupied this evening.
Right. I made it sound like they were deceased or something, and that's not true.
tonight they have the ultimate digression. They are not even with us.
Yes. yeah. But that's actually even becomes more of a possibility, I think, with what happened tonight.
Yeah. Now, granted, she would no longer have that facility with that cool helicopter hangar underneath the parking lot, but she'd have to build her own.
So where she took Coulson is not where she
Well, if the
is
thing
not
is,
where she was taking Andrew.
Exactly.
Interesting.
They're at a different site, but the
and
thing
see,
is,
I kept saying that Andrew was in goo, and he wasn't in goo.
Not as of yet, anyway.
Well, and now he may be dead.
But the thing is, they said that there were no Inhumans at that facility.
No.
So the ones where they have the goo was at a different site. Now the question is that the site that Andrew was at, or is he at an even different location?
Oh.
That becomes the question. They haven't shown us.
Oh. Yes. In fact, I think you're right. I think that's a third location altogether. I think where Andrew is a third location. Although, wait a minute. Didn't Bobby and Hunter, follow Andrew's containment thing to a facility?
Where they ended up is where they thought they tracked them to. But the thing is, it's designed to hack into a system. Now, the thing is, if it hacked it remotely, it may... And then the signal was in their system. They only found it in their system, in that particular system. So, I don't know. They'll have to explain that. I'm not sure exactly how that's supposed to play out.
Yeah. The thing about recording right after is that you don't watch it two or three times, so you don't really get to fact check those kind of things and look over them closer.
And you don't really get the time to let it sink in, and you
right, know. Right. Both you and I, when we write a post about one of these shows, we watch it minimum three times. And you look at it, and you probably give it at least a day to sink in, as you try to decide what angle you're going to take on your post, what it is that you want to write about. What you want to feature in your post and those kind of things. And we watched the episode and then immediately started trying to hook up on our Google Hangout, which took us a little while, but not enough time to go and watch it again. So, yeah,
in
both of
words,
us have watched it once.
If anybody at Disney is listening to this podcast, send us screeners.
That would be so totally awesome. We could do a much better job because we'd actually have time to think about it a little bit more and maybe make more sense and be a little more, hey, we could have time to look things up and golly,
we could be informed.
We could be informed, Dan.
Well, we could have a level 117 watch party. You know, we watch it a couple times through and then we could come back after the actual showing and do our podcast then we've got everything on our minds. Are you listening, Disney?
Yes. And we promise we would never air it before it actually airs.
We're not
that kind of cretin.
We're not monsters.
Yes.
Well, it's not that kind of monster, at least.
We're
in humans. That's the kind of monster. Oh, no.
No, not even that. I'm very careful with my fish oil supplements.
I haven't done fish oil in a long time. I guess that's why I don't have superpowers.
There you go.
I don't want to irradiate a spider or anything like that just to try and, you know. But anyway.
No, be careful. Be careful with those kind of things. You know, with great radiation comes great
cancer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Much more common than having to find a cool outfit and be a superhero.
Exactly.
Coulson was interesting tonight. Mm-hmm. His way of interrogating, I mean...
he saw not only his nice guy persona, but there's that little bit where you could see his fierceness. When he's telling people, this is what we're doing, there we go. But, you know,
not just his fierceness, but his very authoritative when he was talking to his people and giving them the instructions. I think, is that the part you meant?
Yes. Yeah. And also, at the same time, when he's playing Roz, and she knows he's playing him, she's calling him out, and he's still got that same nice guy demeanor. It wasn't getting to him.
No.
Because he knew he had something to go for, and nothing changed until she realized she was played on the other side.
Well, and he didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't know that until that point.
That was the part he didn't know. And it wasn't until they both realized how badly she had been played that they realized how in danger his crew was, his team was.
Right.
Yeah. Because going in to the base was dangerous enough.
Right.
Going in with all of the other unknowns, man, that upped the danger level by just heaps and gobs.
And going in with Hunter playing a computer hacker just raised that through the roof.
Yeah, man, I don't even know how they played. I mean, yeah, he was getting the information fed to him via the little earbuggy deal. Okay, just one little... These are two spy organizations, right?
Correct.
So wouldn't a spy organization, like, check ears for little earbud things to be, you know, for a wire that somebody might be being fed, you know?
Well, here's the thing. When they go in under the pretenses they went in, they would have no reason to do that. Now, granted, there should have been some sort of a frequency. Something was burning at me. There should have been some sort of a radio frequency sweep, or it should have been inside a giant Faraday cage like they do at the CIA or something like that, where they wouldn't have been able to get radio signals out and in. But
yeah.
But just based on, I think at least, the pretense they went in under, they really wouldn't have a whole lot of reason to think that they needed to be searched. At least not searched in their ears. Maybe searched for weapons or anything like that, but that's about
they didn't,
it.
Well, actually, Bobby did have weapon, but it probably it wouldn't have shown up, probably.
Or at least it wouldn't have registered as a weapon.
Yeah, I wonder what it would register as.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
That's my tripod. That's my monopod for my camera.
I think it's something that they would definitely get held by a TSA at an airport for.
Yeah. I don't know how you would explain it.
But getting it past those guys, well, maybe they're underfunded. You know, yeah, they've got funding now, but maybe they're underfunded. I'm just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt at this point.
I don't know. I just am surprised that, you know, a fellow spy organization, yes, they didn't know that those guys coming in were spies, or did they? No, they didn't.
No.
They
had no clue. They thought they were just there to work on the systems. They thought they were legit.
But Rosalind had to know, because they called her and...
But they didn't know the identities of the people going in.
Okay. I'll try to give... Again, that's the one place where there's some hand-waving
of the writer. To an extent, there is. There is there, but... Yeah.
It was still a fun and exciting episode, though. So,
as well as the episode went, I'll overlook and forgive it.
Yeah, I will too. I will give him that. Ward, did you notice in the beginning of the episode he was like favoring his shoulder? He was massaging his one where he supposedly got shot. I really thought he got shot lower in the back, but apparently not. Apparently I'm wrong.
I thought so too. I didn't really notice him working that shoulder though, but it looked good to see that they're keeping that consistency.
Yeah, they did. But then, man, he didn't seem to favor it in the fight. You know, he's sitting there at a dinner, and he's like, he looks like an old guy. You know, he's like, oh, I got this sore over here, and then he goes, kareya, ya, woo, ah, bang, bang, boom, 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 fighting. You know, and he's just like, fine.
Another thing. Well, what if Malik knew that Ward had been shot and he's actually doing a lot better, but he was playing Malik? Oh, I can't do this.
Maybe so.
And as soon as he was gone, boom.
Apparently they've been playing each other all along, back and forth, you know.
Well,
I mean, Malik was at the vault waiting for Ward.
Actually, he wasn't waiting for Ward. He didn't think Ward would show up, but he did.
Really? Yeah,
because he had, according to what he said, he expected Ward to be killed by the henchmen. that Ed was surprised that he figured out where that vault was, let alone the fact that he came in so soon after Malik showed up there.
Yeah.
So basically he wasn't really Ward thought it was a test, but Malik is like, oh, no, I wanted you to die, but now I'm seeing, now I'm changing my colors. Now I'm seeing the light.
Maybe there's a use for you after all.
Exactly.
So you think Malik originally, his plan was just to be the one head of Hydra?
It's almost like I'm not even sure he really wanted plan to be the head of Hydra. Ward wanted him to help bring Hydra back.
Really? You think he wanted Malik?
Well, that's why he went. He wanted information. He wanted that kind of thing. Because Malik, you know, was in that position. And Malik just thought, you know, I don't want to deal with this Ward guy. But I think he's changed his tune after seeing what Ward can do.
Yeah, I think in his estimation, Ward proved himself, although I don't like how he proved himself. We've already talked about that. I don't need to go into it again. I didn't like it.
But Malik even said he'd be a good number two, which maybe he is going to be Taskmaster.
Oh.
Maybe Ward will be Taskmaster, because, I mean, he said you'd be a good number two for the organization.
Malik needs to be careful, though, because being the top head is not a very secure position, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, well, basically in Hydra, you cut off one head, two grow in its place, and whoever's in charge, there are going to be two heads wanting to grow in his place.
Right, and right now there would only be Ward. Who would be the other head?
Right now, the question is, does Ward even want to run the organization, or does he just want the organization?
Actually, it's more basic than that. Does he want to lead Hydra, or is he really just out for revenge? Because it really goes back to his revenge, and we saw the promos for the next week, which have him again trying to get his revenge on Coulson, and apparently he and Coulson are going to have some sort of a High Noon shoot 'em out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, I get that this is the story arc for Ward, is that they've got him bent on revenge, but it's actually kind of wearing thin for me.
Yeah.
He needs more to go on than just wanting revenge on Coulson in particular and S.H.I.E.L.D. General.
It's one of those things, there are certain things you just want to say, all right, wrap up this subplot already. Wrap up this subplot. Because, I mean, a lot of times you can twist it going in another direction, which is a S.H.I.E.L.D. type of story, well, from the comic books anyway. They've started to copy this. In fact, we're seeing a lot of that now that Rosalind has realized that she was played by both sides.
Right.
We Tonight see that other twist.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the Ward story hasn't really had any twists. It's all it's the bad guy gets away. You know, maybe he got shot in the shoulder.
He was more interesting back when he was just on his own and he was being vile and gross, but he was... But there were more twists and turns. Back, remember... Mm-hmm.
It's too straightforward to be going this long.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe somebody needs to throw a monkey wrench in his plan. Maybe his hand goes into the mini obelisk, and he just loses his hand. And then he and Coulson will have something in common.
It'd be interesting, but I think they're past the hand-cutting phase. Because phase two was the hand-cutting.
So, fine. I was just trying to think of a way to make it more interesting.
Yeah, phase two in every Marvel property, except for Agent Carter. I don't remember it happening in Agent Carter, but all the others, somebody lost a hand in Phase 2.
So we'll see if anybody loses a hand in Agent Carter in Phase 2.
Yeah, that's possible.
We already have, technically,
in Phase 3.
Of what?
Because Ant-Man was the last movie of Phase 2. Captain America Civil War is the first movie of Phase 3, and now Phase 3, Inhumans, is part of Phase 3, which had already started even when it was Phase 2. They started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't know if this would still be considered Phase 2 or not.
Dan, you are getting confusing like Tim and Jason do, only you are just by yourself there talking and being all confusing, just you.
All right. Well, here's the thing. The question is where is Phase 2 end and Phase 3 begin?
I don't know.
What I'm wondering. Because, like I say, Ant-Man was the last movie of Phase 2. Captain America: Civil War, which comes out this next May, May 2016, is the first movie of Phase 3. So that's that type of thing. But the thing is, where does the line draw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know.
The Inhumans is technically part of Phase 3, but it was still in Phase 2 when they started that storyline. So
I think the TV shows have their own separate phase timeline.
Well, they're still supposed to run in line in continuity chronologically, even though the movies are no longer under the Creative Council and the TV shows are, still they're supposed to run under the same chronology, as it were.
Well, the reason I say that is because of the things that, like what you said about the Inhumans being introduced before the end of Phase 2 in the movie universe. Which, and Inhumans, but see, the TV show is being used to build up the audience and inform the audience and get them ready for the Inhumans movie, so...
It's also in a way
it
to,
has
make,
to be.
Make some excuses.
Well, but, so... So, the TV show has to be ahead of the movie as far as that aspect.
Well, it doesn't always necessarily have to be ahead, because it was a... With the Hydra thing, Captain America Winter Soldier, it happened right about the same time.
Yes, but in this case, I mean, okay, Hydra, we'd all heard about Hydra before, we just didn't know that they were infiltrated in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
But we'd all heard of Hydra in previous movies and many things before. The Inhumans is a whole education process that they've got to... or they feel that they've got to educate their audience about. So that's mm-hmm. a long indoctrination process, if you will.
Right.
We're going to teach you all about some Inhumans here. Just sit on down here and let's have a little lesson about us and some Inhumans. So I think it's kind of apples to oranges as far as trying to compare the story, how they ran the movies and the TV show with Hydra, and how it's working with the Inhumans. I don't think those two can be compared.
Okay, well, I was just... It was just one of those phase two, phase three. Where's the cutoff at? That's what I was just trying to think of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Somebody on a higher pay scale than you or I probably knows.
which doing this, we are on the zero pay scale at this point.
right. Well, or maybe somebody in one of those writer rooms that we haven't been invited to. You know, just
yet.
Saying. What else? So overall, you liked the episode?
Oh, this was a fantastic episode overall. Yeah, it had a few niggles here and there, but otherwise, it was great.
What about it made it a good episode to you?
Well, it's one of those, it's like we talked about, it was the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. concept, you know, people, you don't know who's playing who at any one time, and then, you know, you bam, here's this answer that you didn't expect. Like Rosalind had no clue she was being played. She kind of, you know, it's one thing to be played by S.H.I.E.L.D., it's another thing to be played by the people she trusted.
Right.
And now we've got that, we've once again got a story twist that can send things in a brand new direction. We've got the whole thing with Fitz and Simmons.
Right.
You know, that's been a powerful, powerful relationship between them, dramatically. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, figuring out how they're going to get to the other side again, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, it's
Did
just...
Did you have a favorite moment?
To say a singular favorite moment? No, I don't have a singular favorite moment. There are so many different parts of this that I liked that I can't really point out.
My favorite moment is going to seem really odd until I explain it.
Okay.
My favorite moment was when Bobby saw the shelf with the fish oil, bottles of fish oil mm-hmm. capsules. Now, why would that be? Because that's the moment that I realized, oh, crap. They just got played on there is a whole lot more going on here than any one person in this, you know, than either side realized. It's not like it was a great lighting shot or, you know, it wasn't the cinematic focus
it was
on the
shattering. Gotcha.
Yeah, it wasn't, and it was the story. It was without saying anything. It was without doing anything. It was just showing that one thing. It was like, uh-oh.
Right.
It's like, oh, Bobby, you need to turn around and just get out of there. And you know she wouldn't. She had to go and see what was in the behind door number one in the cooler. Yeah, and that was even worse. Then you saw all the broken up bodies from people that they had given the Terrigen fish oil capsules to that hadn't turned. Mm-hmm. And that was gruesome to realize that all of those bins were full of body parts, or sort of body parts, charcoal mm-hmm. body parts.
And of course, they had that list of Inhumans that were not put it into the goo.
Right.
One of which they did battle with.
Right. I didn't see. So the what's his name? Banks, the guy that leads them out of there, and in his line at the door, while you're wondering whether or not to trust me, you can decide that as we're running out of here, or whatever he said, you know.
Exactly.
Because he knew you can stay here and, you know, get your butt kicked some one way or the other, or you can run with me and maybe I'm okay.
So as far as we can tell, Rosalind can still trust him because he got his orders from Rosalind.
Yeah. I actually wondered if he was one of the, if he had been turned. Because, you know, he was always on the crew trying to get the Inhumans. I wondered if he had actually been changed as an Inhuman by Malik and his team.
Probably not, but you never know. It'd be interesting to see.
It will be interesting to see. Now, as far as an actual favorite moment, though, probably the parts with Fitz and Simmons, because it was that realistic struggle between what you want and what the heart wants and doing what's right and how hard that is. You know, they don't have the answers to that either. And that wasn't even really just a moment. That was just how that all played out. I really enjoyed that.
Right.
My least favorite moment, my least favorite part would be... well, that's kind of a tie. It was funny. I guess it was humor, Hunter, how bad he is at dealing typing into a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also frustrating because it was like, please just type. That's all you're being asked to do is just type. And then I didn't like Ward taking down the plane for his own selfish purposes. That was...
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have them land somewhere?
Well, actually, he didn't... based on what he said, he didn't really take down the plane. He said, you know, y'all can think about that when your pilot's diving down to keep y'all from freezing to death. So basically,
yeah, okay. So maybe they didn't. Maybe they were okay. Can I hang on to that? That they
were
okay.
Go ahead, because basically what he did was he depressurized it.
Yeah, that's true. And he did tell the stewardess which gave her time to strap herself in so that she didn't get sucked out.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was weird that Ward announced over the loudspeakers, "Hail Hydra."
Yeah. And that was cocky.
Mm-hmm.
Really cocky.
Now, I didn't really have, per se, a favorite episode, but there was one part that I just thought, oh, that was cool. And that was when May and Lincoln went to pick up Bobby and Hunter. You know, coming out of the Northwest parking lot. Okay, where are they? We don't see them. Our parking lot opens up. Up comes this helicopter landing platform, you know, and they're standing right on it. It's like,
that was
yeah,
cool.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Do you have a least favorite?
I think it was probably just Ward's line of Hail Hydra, you know.
Yeah.
Why are you telling this to airline passengers? You know, unless he's got some sort of a motivation to it. You know, it's almost like in season one, having S.H.I.E.L.D.'s logo all over everything. Oh, but we're a secret organization.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like he hasn't really built Hydra up yet, but yet here he is announcing his intentions. I don't know. They did so well. But I did. Another part that I did really like was when Rosalind figured out.
Yeah, you saw it. The clicks.
Exactly. Now you say, all right. Because she's one of those frenemy. You don't know if you can trust her or not. But it was at that point you're like, okay, whatever she was before, she's a good guy now. You know, or you get a pretty good idea that she's, she sees a light. She's working with Coulson.
I enjoyed watching her brain tick. And you could see she was ticking off how deep it went. And she was like, mm-hmm. and he's in charge of that, and then in charge of, and he gave me that information, and then,
mm-hmm.
and she was just like, and her mouth just sort of dropped. She's like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. You want to sign us out? I think we've about finished up to this evening's podcast.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered about everything without digressing
too much
further. So, we want to thank everybody for joining us. As per before, you can find us if whatever you want to tell us, or you like what you hear, you have your own ideas on it, you can get a hold of us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Tumblr, Google+, Pinterest. You can leave us an email at level1177@scififorme.com, or you can call our hotline at 573-42-SCI-FI. I'm Dan Handley, here with Maya Aides.
Yep. It's been a good evening. Yeah. Give us obviously, if you've gotten this far, you did give us a listen. Share us with your friends and...
inflict us on your enemies.
Yeah, inflict us on your enemies, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
Good night.
Good night.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.